Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It has been 6 hours already. Feels like it's going 6 hours, you know? That's only two.
Halfway there, buddy.
Nope. Sam Ellinger from the Kansas City Star will help us get through this next hour. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Terrific. How are you?
Are you really terrific?
I mean, I'd take this.
Yeah. I'm with you.
What is this?
You also very matter-of-factual this morning, so.
Just being here.
It's a thing of all the guests.
I'll take it.
You're very matter-of-factual this morning.
That's a fact.
Now, when you sit back and think about the three games the local teams, or the four games the local teams played, which was your favorite? Was it Kansas able to navigate their way past 100 yards of total offense, losing 45-0 at Iowa State? Was it Kansas State, throw a couple of rain delays or weather delays in there, and losing 26-6 at home to TCU? Was it Missouri actually getting in a shootout for two quarters and making it interesting with four touchdown passes from Drew Lock, and then once again their defense just stopping no one? Or the Chiefs and their unique approach to the first half where they didn't want to gain 10 yards? Which did you like best?
It's a trick question, Steve.
Right. Right. It is a
trick
question.
I'm not falling for your shenanigans.
All
this
of the
morning.
Above is the
oh,
right
yes,
answer.
There. Then there's where the right answer is.
Your colleague Jesse Newell at one point, and I wasn't watching the KU game closely.
Why not?
Good for you.
What?
I value my sanity. I was doing a home improvement project with my stepdad, and it was much more rewarding.
I guess I was at a charity gala on a Saturday. I got roped in. Yeah. I've got watch ESPN. A couple of Missouri guys at my table were watching it. And then as soon as I really started paying attention, it was like, Georgia, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta.
See, that's the good thing about KU football is they don't get you roped in. Mm. They encourage you to stop watching like as soon as possible.
They think you do it.
Usually before Kansas even scores, which is not the case this time, the spread's covered.
Yeah, oh yeah, like halfway through the first quarter, the spread will be covered already. Yeah. And
no,
so
that's literally true. The spread was 22.5.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're like, oh, well,
here's the best stat of the week.
They doubled
right?
the spread.
So
I think Nate almost threw up when I said this earlier. Missouri in the first half scored more points on the road in the first half against Georgia than Kansas, Kansas State, and the Chiefs did combined in all three games.
Oh, God.
And Missouri still lost by 25.
I didn't realize
So there God. You are.
Hiya, I'm a football fan. Hey, everybody. I like to watch them play.
So I had the game on, like the KU game on, while I was out on the back deck working with my stepdad. And I'd, you know, go and peek every once in a while and say, okay, all right.
Peek at your stepdad?
Yeah, no, I'd peek at the game.
Oh.
And then I looked down at Twitter, and your colleague Jesse Newell had tweeted out, and I'm just assuming this is factually correct, said Kansas would literally be better off right now had they knelt on every play offensively and not tried to receive a punt.
You're very matter-of-factual this morning.
He is factually correct. According to the doors.
How's year three of David Beatty going?
So that's what I saw, and I'm like, well, I'm going to keep working on this deck.
I mean, I tried to watch K-State instead of KU, but they kept forcing it, and I'm not playing.
Lightning delays. So
Fox Sports 1. I'm trying not to watch Kansas. And
Thank goodness I was at Porch Fest with Taco Salazar watching Richie. So.
Right. Yes. Local football fan.
Are you ready for some football?
I like it because Taco Salazar I was sitting on a nice bench, and Taco Salazar was standing behind me. Instead of reading his tweets, he was just making smart-ass comments I would listen to. It was like an audio Twitter version of it. It was fantastic. I loved it. Now, Sam Ellinger, there's a lot to talk about with this game yesterday. Let's start first with a decision that has angered many a Chiefs fan. And I will be honest with you. When I'm watching the game in the fourth quarter, and it was 4th-and-2 from the 4 for the Chiefs, and I was already belligerent and angry that the things had not gone their way. And so, but you have to understand too, I feel like I always want the Chiefs to go for it. I want every team to go for it in any situation. I'm Mr. Go For It.
He's a swashbuckler.
I'm Mr. Go For It. And that's why I'm not allowed to coach any level of football, right? Because I'm incompetent. But I'm sitting there like, you know what? They haven't been in this situation all day long. They're probably not getting bad. You know what? Go for it. Just go. You know what? Go for it. Show some, you know, whatever. And then I didn't think they were going to go for it. Then they start. Then they, you know, here comes the offense. Hold on. Wait a minute. What are we doing here? I'm trying to make it a one-score game. And so I'm arguing with myself. Yeah. And my dad doesn't watch a whole lot of football. And because of this reason, because of what I'm like, and I'm in this bay, he's looking at me like he's looking at a crazy man. Like, do you do this every game? Like, yeah, pretty much. That's why I don't watch games with people. So what were you thinking before you knew they were going to go for it? Did you think, you know what, just go for it?
I'm going to be, can I be your vice swashbuckler?
Please.
I despise, we all have biases, I despise with every fiber of my being short field goals. I hate short field goals. If you kick a field goal that's less than 25 yards, screw you. You should not kick that field goal.
See, I feel better because Bo Richter said he wanted them to go for it.
Yes. But I had that same thought because, like, yes, it was fourth and two, right? And not fourth and goal from the two, but fourth and mm-hmm. two. And, you go for it. The worst thing, because this is where my head always goes, the worst thing that happens is you don't get it and they take over at the four, right? Like, there's, you know, worse things to happen in the world. So, yes, absolutely, I wanted them to go for it. When's the next time? You're going to need a touchdown. When's the next time you're going to be down there? Get it now, and then you can get the field goal, you know, like a 45-yarder or whatever. But I had the exact same reaction that you just described. Like, when the offense is going on the field, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey, let's talk about this a minute. Don't listen to me. What are you listening to me for?
Yeah. I mean, just the way that offense was going, like, and look, like, those kind of situational plays are different than, you know, sort of the rhythm of an offense. And if, you know, Andy Reid knows a lot about offense, you know, if he had a couple plays that he felt good about. But the play was kind of, it was just basically your tight ends posting up in the end zone. And they got a touchdown like that with Demetrius Harris against New England. But I don't know. Maybe they thought a size advantage there.
They got a two-point conversion with Demetrius Harris against the Steelers in the playoffs last year on a similar play.
That's right. Yep.
My dad's reaction is I'm going, you should go for it. You should go for it. And then I go, What are you going for? Yeah. He goes, didn't you just say to go? I go, hey, I'm gonna roll here. Let me, you know, voice my friend. You know, I'm airing things out here. You know, but so it looked bad, and then of course Twitter, oh, you idiot, why would you not kick the field goal to make it? And I looked at the text message chain, and Jake was all over him for going for it. And in retrospect, it looked bad because so many things happened from that point on. Next thing.
I would counter, Sam, real quick, though, to your point that, like, the worst thing that can happen if you go for it is that you pin the other team back. Well, in this situation, the worst thing that could happen is you're down two scores.
Yeah.
You know? That's the argument.
And the way Le'Veon Bell was going, right, having him pinned back just means they run more clock.
Yeah, and the idea that if you're down two scores, that also means you're down two scores assuming they don't score again.
Right.
But you know what? But they still overcame it.
Yep.
And had the ball in their hands with a chance to win it, but if they'd kicked the field goal, then all they needed was a field goal to tie. Who knows if the game would have played out the same way, but I can certainly understand people's frustration and understand not kicking the field goal.
I think my frustration is how much time was left on the clock. Like, I get that. If that's
12 and a half minutes.
Right.
Yeah, and so many things happened from that point on.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Can I say something one more real quick, though? My bigger problem, I get that it was, like, objectively the wrong decision, but I'm just not going to crush somebody for going for it in that situation because go for it. My bigger problem was the third down call right before that. You're running up the middle. Like, how is that done? Like, they've had no success doing that, Kareem Hunt up the middle. And especially if you know you're going for it on fourth down, and you had, I think it was third and three at that point, so you think you have, two chances to get the first down, and the second pass, the fourth down pass, you know, is going to be a pass. Like, why not the third down? You know, if that's four down territory for you, throw it twice. Or do something to get out in space instead of running up the middle where your beat up, back up, interior offensive line is just not going to get any push for Kareem Hunt. That was my bigger problem, actually, than the fourth down call.
All right, the play itself, and I've said this earlier, which this sounds like nonsense, but hopefully people get it. I think that should be a touchdown when you catch the ball and you take two steps in the end zone, and it plays over. It's over. But they weren't going to overturn it, and that's not considered a touchdown, I really don't know what a touchdown is. Should they have tried to at least take it a chance and to throw the review flag, or is it just
no?
No.
Yeah, it wasn't going to get overturned. What I hear you, if this is what I hear you saying, I completely agree with you that is a catch if the NFL rules made sense.
Right.
But
that's
the
right.
way the NFL.
You guys really think he controlled the ball?
I think that's a catch.
He
just watching
took two
a catch,
steps,
but not
if
the way the
over.
NFL rules catches.
It's like if you're putting the ball across the goal line, if you're a running back,
mm-hmm.
it ends when the ball crosses the goal line, and then if you it's over. He had it two feet down. It's over. You just scored a touchdown.
I don't feel like he had it, and I'm not trying to be contrarian. I just felt like he had both hands on the ball. But the defender for the Steelers had a hand on the ball, too. And by the time he came down, he had ripped the ball away. I didn't feel like he ever controlled the ball.
His feet were down the whole time. He didn't come down. His feet were down. He had both feet down and both hands on the ball.
The NFL has just completely changed the way we all think a catch is, you know? And it started, at least for me, with that Dez Bryant catch in the playoffs a few years ago. Like, I just think if you know sports but don't watch a lot of NFL, I think you watch Demetrius Harris on that play and be like, oh, he caught it, you know? But if you watch a lot of the NFL, you know how they rule these things, and you're like, nope, not going to get overturned. I thought it was the right decision to not change.
Yeah, they weren't going to overturn it. Under the NFL, with the way the NFL rules call it, it's
and
not
and not even because it was ambiguous. If that was ruled a catch and a touchdown live, I think on replay it would have got overturned no catch. Like, I think it was that clear.
Do you think the play, the plays by Mike Mitchell were dirty?
Yes.
The helmet to helmet on Charkandrick West, and then taking a shot at Alex Smith's knee.
Absolutely, no question.
Some people are defending him, saying that he was pushed in Alex Smith, and he clipped his feet with another Steelers guy.
No
even if he did lose his balance, he went after Alex Smith's knee.
Absolutely, absolutely. I thought the hit on Smith was dirtier than the one on West, but they were both dirty.
Same guy.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. No, the terrible, yeah.
Let's take a
He's
break.
Got a reputation, too.
Wow. Well-deserved reputation.
Absolutely, no question.
Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Stars in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So I got a text message from somebody, and I it's pretty much, we went through this earlier in the show, and I agree with a couple of these points. But Alex Smith was running for his life for most of the game. The offensive line couldn't protect him. Steelers were coming after him. He made a couple of fantastic plays. The best one was the play where he scrambled and finds DeAnthony Thomas. Then DeAnthony Thomas makes a couple of great moves and gets into the end zone. They made something out of nothing there. Terrific awareness and keeping the play alive by Alex Smith and DeAnthony Thomas getting in the end zone. But, and again, we are judging this team not on whether they can win the division, because they're going to win the division. Not on whether they can get the playoffs and everything else. Can they get to the AFC Championship game? Because that's what they need to do to take the next step.
At least.
Alex Smith is considered an MVP candidate. So you have to judge him the way you're judging Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan and MVP candidates that have a chance to take their team to the Super Bowl. So I've had I had someone just text me, Alex Smith played his ass off all day, but missed two huge throws under pressure to DeMarcus Robinson, one in the end zone and then one on that last drive. And that's, you know, elite quarterbacks make that play. I don't know if all quarterbacks make that play, but there's a razor-thin difference. And those two plays, they're just two plays, but they were huge plays at times in the game that it could have made a difference. And could have, you know, if DeMarcus Robinson comes up with that ball. If it's not overthrown, who knows what happens with that drive. So when you look at that, is that fair criticism that, yes, Alex Smith is much, much better, but that's what separates him from an elite quarterback? Or he has to, at least you have, he has to make one of those throws. He has to make that play.
Yeah, well, I...
Because that's the difference in winning and losing in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, the only part of that I disagree with was the part that, you know, that I forgot exactly how you put it, but that Alex was really good most of the day. I thought he was bad yesterday. I didn't think he played well at
all. I'm with you too. But then he made some plays happen that weren't there. But I thought the entire offense, that was a team effort.
Yes,
the offensive line couldn't block.
No,
they had drops. The only guy that I'll say, although Kareem Hunt had some issues in pass protection, he only had
nine carries.
It's not enough. He made plays when he had the ball in space in the passing game because that's what he does. And he got to. And what was the game when he had 11 carries for 11 yards? You got to keep giving it to him, because that's how he's going to break it. They weren't on the field enough. I get all that, but still, he's the best player on the field. He's the best player on the field. That stiff arm was fantastic. He makes things happen, and so it's just look. Alex Smith has been so good this season. He deserves all the credit in the world.
Yep.
But that felt like what happens to the Chiefs in the playoffs.
Yeah. I co-sign on everything. The only thing that I thought Alex was bad. I thought that he missed very open receivers at very bad moments.
It was shocking.
And, yeah, and the DeMarcus Robinson was in the fourth quarter there. That was the most obvious. And look, like we don't know, right? Like we have no way of knowing if Robinson, who's obviously new to this, ran the right route and was in the right spot, but he was so open. That just has to be made. And it wasn't just him. I mean, he overthrew Kelsey. I remember a play that should have been fairly easy. I thought there were some bad decisions. But, you know, I mean, I guess in Alex's defense, and this isn't a defense of him because I thought he played poorly, but he did have guys in his lap.
They were getting to him all day long.
I mean, yeah, the offensive line. This was, in some ways... the Tyreek Hill injury was important. That took away Tyreek Hill, kind of the most important moment of the game for that offense. But it's a little bit ironic in that this is the first game they haven't had a season-ending injury, but it's also the first game where it really felt like those injuries were stacking up on them. Nobody's 100%, but I got to think Mitch Morse, if he's the center, you know, there's no safety. On the Chiefs, that was their first drive of the game, right?
Tardif makes a difference.
Yes.
They didn't have Chris Conley. They didn't have Albert Wilson. Yeah. Then they didn't have Tyreek Hill on the last drive.
I mean, think about this. Like, the offense did nothing all day, so whatever. But on that last drive, they were down their top three receivers.
Right.
Their best three receivers were all hurt on that drive. So now you're working with, I forgot exactly who was on the field. It would have been DeMarcus Robinson.
DeAnthony Thomas.
And DeAnthony Thomas, like Marcus Kemp, right? And that's who you're working with to, you know, a game-winning drive against the Steelers. And look, again, Alex Smith is the quarterback. He's by far the most important player on the offense, on the field. He gets the credit. He's gotten a lot of credit this year, and he's deserved every bit of it. And I think, criticizing him for his performance on Sunday is absolutely fair.
DeMarcus had a big catch on that last drive. He had a huge block earlier in the game. And
on Kareem Hunt's play, right? Yep, that was a great block.
And he was open. One blown coverage, but he was... I want to see more of him, especially now that Conley is out.
I think there's something there.
Yes, I absolutely do.
Yeah.
So I think that he could turn into a really nice weapon as weeks go on, and he gets more comfortable with the offense, and Alex Smith is more comfortable with him.
I do think Alex Smith is also partially responsible. The whole offense, and I think the scheme by Andy Reid, are all partially responsible for the fact that Kareem Hunt only got 9 carries because, again, that's why I pointed it out last week when – Kareem Hunt was not having any success on the ground in the first quarter of that game against the Texans. They were able to keep hammering away with him because they'd run it on first down, they'd run it on second down, it'd be third and long or third and medium, and Alex Smith would convert a third down conversion. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't get those third down conversions yesterday, whether it's because the scheme wasn't right or Alex Smith was missing passes, all the above. They ended up 3-for-11 on third downs, and I think in the first half they were 0-for-6 or whatever it was. And that doesn't allow you to keep feeding your guy.
Yeah.
You know, you can't keep handing the ball off if you go 3 and out, you punt the ball away, and then you're down 2 scores almost the entire second half. And, you know, you end up throwing the ball a ton. I did think Alex Smith made some tremendous plays in the fourth quarter. You know, the play to DeAnthony Thomas, the pass play to Kareem Hunt, and we had to break, you know, again, he had to scramble but kept his eyes downfield and was able to complete passes. Again, that's something we were seeing from him that we haven't seen in the past. But I'm with you guys. I thought particularly in the first half he was not sharp. I didn't think the offense was sharp. And I didn't think Andy Reid's play calling was as sharp as it's been. You know, either – I mean, the Steelers seem to be ready for every one of those little gadget plays this time. Every one of them, you know?
Yeah, and it's weird too, right? Because it was the same – correct me if I'm wrong – it was the same offensive line as last Sunday against Houston, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they schemed around those things, right? They schemed around the interior. And look, like that for 95% of that game, that was not a very good – wasn't an excellent defensive front, you know, once Watt and Mercer got hurt. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But it was just kind of stark, the same guys blocking. And, you know, they did okay last week in Houston. And that was enough for – what was it, 45 points or whatever it ended up being. I know there was the punt return for a touchdown, but you get my point.
Can you guys believe they punted a Tyreek Hill?
No. No. Absolutely.
Why you said punt return?
Oh, my God.
He almost broke it.
But right before that play, I tweeted, I said, if Tyreek Hill gets a chance to return this, everybody on the Steelers special team should be fired.
But you guys, weren't you stunned?
No,
stunned.
That unbelievable. Absolutely incredible.
Was that, you think that was arrogant just punting to him, or do you think that the punter didn't follow instructions?
I have to believe that he either didn't follow instructions or he tried to kick it out of bounds and it just, you know, he missed it.
Because he gave me set it up at the 45.
That is the only chance the Chiefs have. I mean,
I couldn't, because when he started going across the field, I'm thinking,
oh my God,
he's going to return this.
Yeah.
And even though he didn't, he still got him out to midfield. Yes. And set him up perfectly. And if they would have got the ball in the end zone, we would have been talking about that all day long. How did you kick the Tyreek Hill and spark that team? But look.
Once he got to the edge, I couldn't believe he didn't take it all the way. Yeah. I thought, well, he's gone.
I was shocked he even caught it, though. I mean, that was a tough catch. I mean, right. He was kind of backing up in the corner over his shoulder.
But you got to kick it out of you can't.
Even if it means a 35 net.
Right.
I think the
punter was trying to kick it out of bounds.
You can't do it. And so, all that said, everything that happened, as bad as they played offensively, the coach didn't have them ready, all these things, multiple injuries, they still had the ball at midfield with a chance to win it, and the Steelers scored what looked like the put-away touchdown after the ball ricochets off of Phillip Gaines and into the hands of Antonio Brown. I mean, it's...
Yeah. Yeah,
they could have been down three touchdowns or more at halftime. They should have been probably.
Yes, what I hear you saying is they played like garbage,
right?
And they still had a chance to beat a good team.
That's right,
a first place team. And I absolutely believe that. I agree with you. Yeah, I mean,
I thought they were going
to
win.
There's two different ways to look at it, right. Like, it can be even worse because the Steelers really did one thing well yesterday and one thing only, and that was run the ball. Like, I mean, they were sloppy. That the free kick. Just letting it drop, you know, what are you guys doing? I mean, there was a lot there. There were open receivers. You know, the Steelers did not play very well, and they got a win on the road against what I still believe is, you know, we're sitting here like analyzing like one game, and I think fairly and accurately, but I still believe, I'm curious what you guys think. I still believe they're the best team in the NFL. I still think this is a really, really good team.
I think Pittsburgh's just a tough matchup for them.
They are,
and I know some people. Oh, I can't wait to see them again in the playoffs. I can wait to see them again in the playoffs, and I hope that path. They're not in the Chiefs' path. I hope they get matched up against New England because New England seems to have Pittsburgh's number.
But could I make a quick point about that though? Like, if the Chiefs would have won yesterday, if the Chiefs beat the Steelers by 10 points, whatever. That doesn't guarantee anything in January any more than losing yesterday does.
Right.
You know?
Doesn't matter where you play the Steelers.
Yes.
Apparently.
I still think the Chiefs are the best team, but it is about matchups. And the Chiefs match up horribly against Le'Veon Bell. And
I never want to see James Harrison and Eric Fisher in the same room.
I think Eric Fisher agrees with you.
Don't ever.
Yeah.
Never. Back into this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. I wish somehow we could have had a ranting and raving Nate Bucati recorded in this last commercial break. Boy, there's a lot thrown at you in that commercial break, Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, that was fun.
Was it?
Yeah, it was fun. I got to say this, too. Well, you guys are much better at this than I am.
No.
So,
well, the Chiefs.
Well, hold on.
That's saying a lot.
The Chiefs are 5-0, started 5-0, right? And I don't think I got one single text message during this segment. I mean, I know people listen, but not to the point of like sending me a text message. I've gotten 5 text messages during this segment about like
this show
people,
sucks.
No, about like just the anger. People, you know, the anger motivates a lot more than the joy. Do you guys get more texts like during the show after losses than wins?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Like phone calls after a big win, they don't come in.
Right.
Look, after a loss, the phones won't stop ringing.
Yeah. People are mad.
Well, you got to find, when the team was 5-0, we had to find something to complain about, whether it's Marcus Peters or Travis Kelce or too much TV coverage of J.J. Watt. Like, we find something to be mad about. Now we can be mad about the game, you know, so I guess that's good.
The actual football, yeah.
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh getting the personal fouls and things like that, and so But the Chiefs conducted themselves very well as far as not getting too excited, not too much celebrating, and they lost.
Good
so
manners.
Hopefully, all the people that have been outraged over the past couple weeks liked that yesterday.
They had good manners,
right? That's right. They were.
We
very,
won on the good guy chart.
Very respectable, like football team. So now you have to turn around if you're the Chiefs.
The good guy chart is that part of the play hard chart.
It's right. It's a different chart.
Now see why. Look at him. Look how fast he's working. Now he's hitting the keyboard.
What made you read Kinesa?
You know what?
You know, good guy chart.
You ever heard
kick their butt again?
Play hard. Kick their butt again.
Have you ever heard of letting a sleeping dog lie?
Play hard. Kick their butt again.
And now I gotta hear this damn thing.
Just like
play hard, kick their butt again.
Just like Bruce Weber went 3-0 in the play hard chart against KU last year. Andy Reid's gone 3-0 on the good guy chart.
Play hard, kick their butt again.
I don't want to hear that.
Kick their butt in the good
guy
chart.
They have to turn around now and play a desperate Raiders team on Thursday night, and this is not a must-win for the Chiefs because I've said even if they lose this game, they'll still win the division because the division's not very good. San Diego is now playing better than the Broncos or the Raiders. They go to Oakland and get a last-second win, and you've really done something. If you find a way to lose a close game to the Chargers, that's an accomplishment because they don't want you to. And then the Broncos just looked awful against a bad Giants team with no wide receivers and running backs you've never heard of, and they were dominated, and so the Chiefs are still going to win the division. But for the Raiders, this is a must-win. You just lost at home to the Chargers on Sunday, and then you have the Chiefs as well. And for them to be considered an actual, even a playoff contender, I mean, what would they be if they lost this game? Then 2-5?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they've lost 4 in a row, right?
Yeah, they ain't going to the playoffs.
That's
a
true fact, 4 in a row.
And so this is a must-win, I think, for the Raiders. It's an important game for the Chiefs. But this is tough now because you've got several injuries to deal with, and you got to turn right around and play on the road, travel out to the West Coast against the Raiders, and we don't know who's going to play. Apparently, Tyreek Hill does not have a concussion, according to many reports. Charkandrick West does. I don't know if Morris is coming back, Tardif's coming back, Albert Wilson. So set us up. What do you think about the short week going to the Raiders?
I think it's a really tough matchup. Like and again, just like we talked last week, right, about how playing the Steelers after they get embarrassed against the Jags probably isn't the best thing.
Nope.
I think the Chiefs would be in a better spot if the Raiders had beat the Chargers 20-10 or whatever. Derek Carr didn't play well, but he came back at least. You would expect him to be a little bit better on Thursday than he was on Sunday, although he is obviously stunk basically every time that he's played the Chiefs. One other thing that I don't think we've talked about, I don't think we've mentioned so far that is a concern, especially with a game 4 days later, is I didn't think Justin Houston looked very good on Sunday. I don't think he was moving the way, that calf injury that he was on the injury report with, I was kind of, really, like, I thought he looked okay, against Houston and what's going on and all that. I thought it was just sort of overly cautious NFL cloak and dagger stuff. But, the most obvious play where it stuck out to me was remember where the Chiefs downed that punt at the one, Akeem Hunt, they downed that punt at the one. and the tight end, I think it was Vance McDonald, that they got sort of isolated against Houston, and Houston just was not, got burned. You know, I mean, he was just a step slower than that tight end. And not just that, but the way he was running, it just didn't look like Justin Houston. And yeah, I was watching him a lot. I always watch him a lot when the Chiefs are on defense, and he just doesn't seem to be moving around that well. And I talked to him after the game, and he said, you know, he kind of didn't blow off, but sort of sidestepped the question about how he's feeling. You know, nobody's healthy after the first two games of the year, all that stuff. But I just, you know, a 4-day turnaround, you know, that guy is that important. We've talked over and over about how important he is to this team. That is a bigger concern to me than Sharkhandrick West, may even be a bigger concern to me than the interior of the offensive line. You know, they need him at full strength, and right now he's not.
Yeah, that's really terrifying to think about that, and then to think about having, like, I don't like these Thursday games. I'm just going to go ahead put it out there right now. I mean, yeah, it gives you something to watch when Thursday rolls around. It used to be a college football night, by the way.
Yeah.
But I don't like them because I think the quality of play usually stinks.
Yep.
The teams are not prepared. We heard Herm Edwards talk about how the game plan gets short shrift. Mm-hmm. They don't get to practice the things they want to practice, so the game quality isn't as good, and the players aren't rested and ready to play. And, you know, it's a physical league, and these guys getting beat up, and now they got to go, you know, play a game on a Thursday night. Sounds like I'm being self-serving as a Chiefs fan right now. Because
you are.
But I don't like. I mean, it is what it is. I complain about something that's not going to change, but I don't like it, and it makes me worried for the Chiefs going into this game. I just think it's a tough spot to be in. You know,
it is. I hate the Thursday night as well. But the only thing I always say is, you know, the Raiders only have 4 days too, and they don't have to make the flight and all that.
And Carr's incredibly banged up. So I mean,
he is. And the other thing, like the Chiefs, this is weird, and I hadn't thought about this until. Blair Kirkhoff said something about it last night. There's no difference between the Chiefs home and road. You know what I mean?
No, like, if anything, they were 6-2 both home and road last year.
Yeah. And they've got, you know, obviously three, right? Road wins so far this year. Mm-hmm. You know, they lost the home playoff game last year. I mean, it's just, it's a strange thing. You would think that Arrowhead would be a bigger boost. I don't know if that's, you know, slamming Arrowhead, or maybe Andy Reid is just such a good coach that he, you know, coaches him up on the road or whatever. But it's a strange thing. Like every time I catch myself thinking, "Ooh, tough road game," I remember, you know, I don't know. The Chiefs seem to be doing just as well on the road.
Sam Ellinger, anything else you're going to be working on we can look out for this week?
yeah, there's a few things. I'd rather not. I'm not trying to be coy or anything.
No, say it all.
Yeah, I'd rather not say it right now. I don't have. Haven't made my phone calls. I would say, like, KU fans might be interested around, like, maybe Wednesday, Thursday, something like that on the website.
Your reaction to the exhibition basketball game that will be played at Sprint Center on Sunday?
Love it. I, you know, more than anything else, I'm interested to watch Michael Porter in a, you know, competitive game.
What's your name?
Do you think it's going to mean a lot more Missouri fans there than KU fans?
I don't know. I've been hearing a lot over the last 5 years about how no KU fan cares about the rivalry anymore.
I got Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter.
I don't know either. I just want to go see Michael Porter Jr.
I think the Michael Porter factor is going to make a lot more Missouri fans want to pay some serious money to go to this game.
No, that's probably true. I mean, it's the first time that Mizzou has had energy and optimism around basketball in a really,
really
long time.
It's a meaningless game.
And KU is always good at basketball. You're right. And it's going to be ugly. It's going to be a sloppy exhibition game. I'm guessing they're going to have like 7 or 8 fouls. You know, like
I heard an interesting theory on why Bill Self would want to do this.
For charity.
He anticipates playing this game in the NCAA tournament and would rather get all of that stuff out of the way now so he doesn't have to hear about, first time since they didn't face off, and then that takes some of the pressure off of that game if you play it in the postseason.
No. The real reason that they're playing this game is in KansasCity.com.
Oh.
Look at you.
Oh. You guys like that?
Yes.
He's doing it for his dad.
The tickets are being distributed like 9,000 apiece, right? So it'll be split right down the middle.
Yeah, like the
assuming
Mizzou,
everybody buys
Illinois
them up,
game.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. So it'll be fun.
I'll be there.
I'm bummed. I'm going to miss it, actually, because I'm going to Oakland. My sister lives in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
Family's coming out. We're going to stay the weekend with
Oaktown 357.
I will not be there either.
Yeah. I wish it was going to be on TV. I'd like to watch it.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I see. Thank you. I'm going to have fun.
Please do.
Just Periscope it and we all watch.
There you go.
No, thank you. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHV.